Next up on Off Duty, the new culinary frontier, cannabis.
Helping you enjoy the finer points of food and drink. This is Off Duty from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to the Off Duty podcast. I'm Kevin Sintemong.
And I'm Beth Cracklauer.
Fun fact, last year, Americans spent more on legal marijuana than Doritos, Cheetos, and Funyuns combined. That's $5.4 billion versus $4.9 billion.
Well, I'm going to take an educated guess here and say that probably a big proportion of legal marijuana buyers are also stocking up on Funyuns.
Yeah, right? I mean, Funyuns are like they're in the Munchies Hall of Fame, at least in my Munchies Hall of Fame. And as more states allow the legal sale of marijuana, 23 states right now, including four of which allow it for recreational use.
Also Washington, D.C., right?
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. So those numbers have changed since I last
maybe not. I could be wrong.
Wikipedia'd this, yes. But cooking with weed has become a growing trend among professional chefs as well as cooks at home. Here to talk more about this new culinary frontier is food writer Raquel Pelzel, who has produced over 20 cookbooks and is currently working on a cannabis cookbook with Sadella Marley. Did I say that right, Raquel?
Yeah.
Sadella Marley, the daughter of Bob Marley. Raquel, welcome.
Thank you.
So edibles, I believe, is the term of art for food made with marijuana. You know, this has come a long way since college kids started crumbling pot into their Duncan Hines brownie mix.
What can,
if I go into a dispensary these days in Denver or Portland, Oregon, a place where it's okay to use it recreationally, what can I expect to find there in terms of treats?
Well, it differs state by state. Every state where recreational is legal has their own standards and laws regarding how edibles can be sold. Like Washington State, for example, edibles have to be sold in individual packages with, you know, clear markings of how many milligrams of THC per serving are in the package. Whereas in like California, you can buy a jar of a jar of marinara sauce with marijuana, with cannabis in it, with THC. And then, you know, it has the per serving amounts like on the label. So it kind of depends on where you are. And then, of course, you know, in California, edibles, you can only be purchased with a medical card. So in another state like Washington, anyone can buy edibles. You can walk into a dispensary and buy edibles. In Oregon, you can walk into a dispensary and you can buy cannabis, but you can't buy edibles unless you have a medical card. So every state is totally different. It's a little bit confusing. Everyone has their own rules and ways of packaging this kind of stuff. So it's you know, an industry that's still very much in its infancy, and people are kind of trying to figure out, I guess, how to make it work best. There's a lot of laws that are, you know, people trip over. There's a lot of regulations.
Right.
It's really yeah, but for people that can go into a dispensary and buy stuff, it can be fun.
Right.
Yeah, was I actually just smoking weed just there? Is it legal in D.C. to use it recreationally? Or did I just make that up?
Yeah, it is. D.C., it is. I believe it is legal in D.C. I think it's Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, D.C. And then there's, of course, other states where you can use medicinally. But even, like, say, I think, for example, state of New York, where it was just legalized, there's a couple of dispensaries, I think one in each borough in New York City, you can buy oil, which is an extract, but yet I believe it's illegal to actually make the oil in New York State. So it's like there's all these strange laws and if the oil falls from the sky, I guess you could use it.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Wouldn't it?
If that happened. But weed has also become even more culinary with chef tasting menus and cannabis cocktails, right? It's not just sort of like gummy bears or something.
Yeah,
like
totally.
That, right?
So it's interesting, you know. Yeah, you can go into a dispensary where it's legal and buy gummy bears. You can buy mints. You can buy oils. You can, Rice Krispie treats that have THC or that are specifically formulated for CBD, which is the non-hallucinogenic one of the components in cannabis that, you know, is good for relaxation and is, you know, good for anti-inflammatory properties. Cooking at home with cannabis is a whole different story because you, of course, have to extract the THC from the flower bud, which is dried, And you do that generally by infusing it into a fat, such as butter or oil. And this takes, you know, a few hours, and you have to follow a very precise, well, you know, there's a lot of people doing it old school, just like throw some wheat in butter and be like, all right, I added like, you know, an ounce.
Right.
Make this like crazy one pan of brownies, and it has like 100 milligrams of THC per brownie, and just
which is a lot, right?
Which is a ton, because like 10 milligrams is the baseline for, say, Washington State. One serving is 10 milligrams, and that's like a moderate level. When I was working on recipes for the Marley book, you know, we wanted to make it even more tame and keep things at 5 milligrams per serving, so that people could actually have 2 servings of something, or have like a cannabis spiked salad dressing and, you know, enjoy a cannabis infused ice cream, you know, 2 things in one dinner party. But yeah, cooking at home with cannabis is quite different. You can taste the cannabis a little bit in the end, the final product, but it's actually really nice. Like when I went into it, and of course I only tested recipes where it was legal. But when I was going into it, I was like, wow, am I going to have to alter spice levels? Am I going to have to, you know, how do I approach this as, you know, someone who develops recipes for a living? So it was really interesting to find that, you know, in one, like say one batch of something that yields 4 servings, really, if it's made correctly, you only have to add like 2 teaspoons of a cannabis oil or butter at the end to something to, you know, give it 5 milligrams of THC per serving. You're not going to taste 2 teaspoons of, you know, cannabis coconut oil if it's like stirred into a big pot of, you know, a big pot of soup or something like that. It's not really going to come through. So so it was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's also the factor of how it affects you, of course, beyond the flavor. Jeremiah Tower talks about in his memoir, one of his memoirs, a dinner party he made in 1969. It was very fancy. It had multiple courses. And one of the early courses was a cannabis consomme that, you know, didn't affect you right away. And so he kind of paced out the dinner so that by the time you got to the dessert, you'd just be feeling the effects of that. And then that would sort of enhance your experience of the dessert. Is that something to think about too, as you're planning a meal with cannabis is one of the ingredients?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it takes anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours for an edible to kick in. It depends on it depends on your weight. It depends on your metabolism. It depends on what you've eaten that day. It depends on your tolerance, if you're a man or a woman. You know, there's so many variables that go into it. But yeah, if you're at a dinner party, I mean, you definitely want to have, you want to, you know, be thoughtful on how you prepare the meal so that, you know, you don't want to save the cannabis component for dessert because, I mean, maybe you want to include a cannabis dessert in the mix, but, you know, then that means you have everyone hanging out at your house until like midnight and then the cannabis kicks in and then it becomes like, you know, a 24-hour rager.
there's a whole new set of etiquette.
There is a 4 p.m. dinner party.
4 p.m. Wow. And what happens if I get full and I don't want to sort of, but I'm still hungry, but everything else has cannabis in it? What do you do then?
Well, it's what I like to do is, so you say you're planning a dinner party and you're going to have a few dishes that has cannabis in it. It's really nice to supplement with non-cannabis, you know, enhanced foods, and to clearly label those on your table so that when you are serving your friends or family or whoever is over, everyone knows like, okay, one serving of this is 1 cup, and you can even pre-portion stuff out because it's really important. If someone ingests too much THC and they're not used to it, they can have a really horrible experience.
Sure.
And that's not the goal of this. I mean, when I was working on this book with Sadella, we both felt very strongly that, you know, it should be a nice effect. It shouldn't make you crazy stoned, so all you want to do is sit on a sofa and be comatose. Like, it should be like drinking a glass of wine. I think that's as this whole industry matures, I really think that, you know, enjoying edibles is really, it's not going to be about getting stoned and getting like just, you know, kind of falling down on the sofa and zoning out for a while and falling asleep. It's more about, you know, kind of like just being in an uplifted, really nice, happy place, like having a glass of wine or two or having a cocktail before dinner, the same kind of really nice, relaxed feeling. And it's if you overdo it and then, you know, at the 2 hour point, you're like, whoa, things are getting crazy. I mean, you can't peel back. It's like in your system already. And also to keep in mind, edibles stay in your system. Not only do they take longer to come into effect, but they stay in your system for longer as well. So it's a longer lasting high. It doesn't really spike and taper off as quickly as, say, if you, you know, ingested cannabis some other way or smoked it or whatever, vaped it. It's a more constant, long lasting feeling. So you have to be careful.
Where does the responsibility lie for kind of providing those guidelines? Is this something, you know, are we going to have, is the USDA going to tell us what the amounts we should be using are, recommended daily allowance kind of thing? Or does this, should this really be the responsibility of the cooks and the people who are eating it to educate themselves?
I mean, I'm sure eventually, I guess, If more states legalize, I mean, they're going to have, the USDA will have to get involved, I suppose. I mean, it really is, as of right now, it's the responsibility of the cook, I think. You know, just like you would go to a farmer's market and, you know, you care about how the tomatoes were grown or, you know, how that chicken was processed. You know, you want to care about how your cannabis was grown. Was it, in places where cannabis is legal and not sold on the black market, you can find out, like, was it grown organically? Was it grown completely outside in full sun? Was it grown inside under artificial light? All cannabis gets tested for trace minerals and other, you know, soil compositions, and to see, you know, to make sure that the cannabis is clean. And that's really important, especially if you're taking it for medicinal reasons. It's pretty key. So I think that's the first step as a cook or someone at home who's preparing cannabis for a meal. You know, you want to provide it responsibly to your guests. And then also, you know, I had a little potluck.
I was trying to avoid the puns, but that's a, you have
to
use
that.
You can't
avoid the puns.
You have to use that one. Yes, that was perfect.
You're trying to weed them out. So I had a little potluck, and, you know, before we started, I gathered everyone around and kind of like, okay, tonight we're going to have this really great experience, and these are the dishes that have cannabis in them, and this is how much one serving is. And, of course, everyone's going to forget, so I, you know, made little labels to put in front of the dishes. I talked everyone through what strain I used, what property it has, how many milligrams of THC that are going to be in more or less in one serving. I mean, you're doing it at home. You're obviously not having it tested by a lab, which dispensaries that sell edibles in states where it's legal, they have to have one sample of every batch tested in a lab to make sure that the THC that's being written on the packaging is accurate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at home, it's kind of a guesstimate. It's like, well, this probably has between, you know, like 5 and 8 milligrams of THC per serving. And you want to let people know, like, what they're eating and say you're making a whole dinner party, if they pair, you know, like a bowl of the cannabis enhanced soup with, you know, a roll, and then they have, you know, a Jamaican style patty and that has cannabis in it. Like maybe those are the two cannabis dishes that they want to have, because the total, you know, THC per serving combined is going to be like 10 to 12 milligrams. And they know that that's kind of like where they want to be at. So I really think it's important to talk people through, make sure everyone has water. It's also a really good idea not to, you could serve alcohol, definitely. I mean, people drink when consuming edibles, but it does like enhance the effect of the edibles, and it also like impairs your judgment even more. Mm-hmm. So if you are having a not a great experience with your edibles, then if you drink a few glasses of wine or have cocktails, it's only going to, you know, take you down that road where it's hard to come back from.
So maybe save the wine pairings for another non potluck dinner.
Exactly.
Right?
or you know, you have a glass of wine in the beginning because you know that, you know, it takes 30 minutes to 2 hours to kick in. So by the time it kicks in, that first glass of wine or first cocktail will be, you know, worked through your system already. It's just, you know, it takes a little bit more consideration and thoughtfulness, I think, if you're going to approach this in a responsible way, which, you know, I really think that's the way that everything's going to go as the novelty of edibles and, you know, like, I mean, you know, getting a Rice Krispie treat with 100 milligrams of THC in it, you know, do you really want to section up a Rice Krispie treat into 4 or 6 little pieces and then have it hanging around your house, like shut away in some drawer for 2 months? I mean, would you eat a 2-month-old Rice Krispie treat? Like, maybe you would.
Obviously, I would, because I thought about that. So,
yeah. Wait a second. Maybe. But
if there weren't any Funyuns.
If there weren't any Funyuns around, yes. Right. Then you might go there.
Desperate for Funyuns. Well, I mean, it's really not so crazy. You know, you watch your sodium intake, you watch your THC intake. We're all adults, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. And we still know so little about the beneficial properties. I mean, THC is only one of dozens and dozens of different compounds that are in cannabis. I mean, there's THC, there's CBD, and then there's all these other ones that we just, because it's been illegal, we know so little about it. And people really do believe that there's a ton of beneficial antioxidants and really great things it can do for the body. So it's going to be really fascinating to watch this industry as it matures and as people are allowed to really test this out and see what it can do for us, you know?
Well, here's to grown-up, safe, edible eating.
And having
fun. Raquel, thank you so much for joining us, and happy 420.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And that wraps up another Off-Duty podcast. Thanks for listening. You can check out other great podcasts at wsj.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @WSJPodcast and subscribe to this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and now Spotify. And if you like this podcast, tell a friend. Thanks.